Hey moms, welcome to the Gather Moms podcast. My name is Kate.
And I'm Rebecca. We've created this space just for you because we're both moms and we get you.
Yes, we believe there truly ain't no hood like the motherhood and we need to be in this together. We also believe we can't mom well without Jesus, so you're going to hear us talk about him too.
Follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Gather Moms and make sure to hit subscribe so you don't miss a single episode.
All right, mamas, let's jump in. Hey moms, welcome back to the Gather Moms podcast. We are so glad that you're here with us. This is our second episode in our new season, Mom Struggles.
I think it's kind of exciting to start a new season, like in the second half of the spring when you're like, what's happening to my life? And I just want to make it to summer. It's almost like a little burst of, I can do this.
Well, and we're struggling with you. You know, that was what we talked about on the whole last episode is we're on this mom struggle bus together. And it helps so much if we can talk about our mom struggles. And really, that's what we're going to talk about in this episode is the mom struggle of friendship and community. But before we dive into that, moms, I want to make sure that you know that we have something just for you. We want to be friends with you.
Oh, let's be friends. I love it.
And so we've created, we want to have a community with you just for you. And so we are going to do an online group. And it actually starts on March 21st, and we're going to meet every other week four times, and we're going to do a Zoom. We're going to watch the Mom Struggles video on Right Now Media with you, and then we're going to talk about the mom struggle together, just like if you were sitting in our living room. We wanted to do it this way so that moms, no matter where you are, no matter if you're in Texas, the United States, or somewhere around the world, that you could join us. And so the way that you get connected there is just click on the link in the show notes. That's going to take you to our Patreon. Once you join that Patreon community, you're going to get the link to the Zoom. And I just want to tell you that you want to go ahead and join the Patreon community because we have something really exciting coming up for you in May, and we don't want you to miss it.
I love surprises.
Yeah. Tease it out. It's coming. I'm actually so excited about what's coming in May. So I just pressed
order. You mean
order.
Besides school being over?
No, we're not going to talk about that.
Oh, okay.
We're going to be here for our moms in May, probably the toughest month of the year for moms. And we're going to bring a little extra joy. And I just pressed order on a sample of something that is coming that is going to be part of that initiative.
That every mom in America will want.
Yes.
Yes.
I cannot wait for us to have it in our hands. So anyway, that's so exciting. So moms, join us. Go click on the link. Come over to our Patreon, and then you're going to get the Zoom link so that you can be part of that group. And there's community happening on our Patreon. That's a place where we have chats. We talk about things. And so if you're wanting to go deeper in mom community, don't miss that. But so I wanted us to start off this kind of mom struggles season today talking about mom friendships. And I'm going to ask you something. You're going to blank. So then I'm going to give you a minute, Rebecca, so you can think.
You didn't give me time to prep for this. I'm ready.
Because you have no memory of your life.
None. I might have memory of friends, though. I don't know.
Do you think? Okay, because that's maybe what I'm about to ask you.
That's what I felt like you were going towards. Okay.
Okay, so what did your friendships look like growing up? Like when you remember elementary school, Rebecca, what friends did you have then?
They were amazing. I remember we had a group, all the little girls in my class, which I think maybe our classes were smaller back then. I feel like there's a billion kids in classes these days. And we did all the birthday parties together, and we didn't all go to church together. I do remember we all had different, some went to church, some didn't. Some went to Catholic church, some went to Baptist. We all went to different places. But we all hung out in school. And then as we got older, we actually started doing the same activities, like band and things like that. So okay. Our friendships continued.
Okay.
So I had pretty stable, like same friends all the way through graduation.
That's amazing.
I know.
That's amazing.
Yes.
Do you keep up with any of them today?
Yeah, I have a few that I keep up with. I do keep up with probably more college friends, but my best friend from high school, Liz, I still keep up with her.
Okay.
And I stalk all of them on social media,
sure.
Right? That's what
yeah.
we do.
Yeah.
It's kind of weird that you asked that because I do have such good memories that it's kind of sad that you don't really see them because I don't go back to reunions and things like that.
Yeah. You know, our 20th high school reunion was in 2020. So that didn't happen.
Oh, sorry about that. Sorry about that.
Which is crazy to think about a 20th high school reunion. But so I had a similar experience. Like, thankfully, like, the kids that I went to elementary with, then we went to middle together, we went to high school together. And those, like, friend groups would change a little bit of, like, who you were hanging out with the most in that group.
Yeah.
You know, like, you know, I might be, let's just make some names up. You know, if, like, I'm hanging out with Sarah the most for a while, but it's all part of this big group of, like, 20, 25 kids.
And I never remember being jealous, though. Do you remember being jealous, like, when you would hang out with someone? Because we didn't know. This is the thing. I had no idea if you were having a slumber party without me. I didn't know.
We didn't know. It's not like it is today. Now, I do remember one time a girlfriend had a slumber party. This is kind of a wild story. A girlfriend had...
You always have wild stories.
Well, I don't know. So I don't know if I make the stories wild or wild things happen to me or, like, I don't know. But this girlfriend had had a party and a slumber party, and then she didn't invite, like, three of us. And the mom of one of my good friends said, that's so mean or whatever. We should go play a prank on them. And so we went and like teepeed their house and then left a poster board sign that said, you should have invited us or something like that.
And it was the mom's idea?
It was the mom's idea. Looking back on it, I'm like, that was not great. Like, even, I think even in the moment, I was like, this doesn't feel great.
Okay, but listen, I miss teepee days. Like, that was what we did. We teepee people's houses. I did that.
It was a sign of affection.
It was. We thought that was fun.
Yes.
Yeah.
And my kids are not, like, I've asked them, like, shouldn't we go, like, do that? Like, do y'all not do that?
Listen, like, no. We should bring that back for mom friends. We should teepee mom friends' houses. Don't you think?
Yes, but then we have to pay to clean it up.
Listen. Okay. Oh, my gosh. This idea is so good. Okay. Instead of teeping where you throw the toilet paper on their trees, you just sit it on their porch in a package with a note that says you've been teepeed. But it's like you still get to use the toilet paper, so it's a gift.
Love that so much better. So much better.
I love it.
Okay, we should totally should. That's really cute, actually. Let's figure out an initiative.
I think we should.
I see the wheels turning.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's then talk about. I mean, something drastic changes though from when you're like an elementary kid and all your school years, and I think even in college to a certain extent, there is some like built-in friendships because you're with these mm-hmm. people all the time. Mm-hmm. You know, you may have roommates or you're in classes or you're in a sorority, right? But then something drastically changes when you leave that school system and you're heading into like adulthood, and it all of a sudden becomes really tricky to find friends. Did you experience that? Or
I did when I first got married and we moved to where we live now. You know, you just don't know anybody.
Yeah.
And you don't necessarily have natural gatherings because you just got married. So you're trying to spend time with your spouse and you're trying to get a job. And I mean, honestly, I think people's work friends know them better than even their social friends.
Yeah.
Because you see those people all day long.
Yeah. And it can be hard, I think, for young marrieds, young adults, especially like even at church, to find those community groups can be challenging. Because, you know, you could be 25 and you're in a room of people. Some of those people are married and have a kid. Some of them don't have a kid. They just finished their master's degree or something. And they're just starting their adult life. Like there's just this whole, everybody's in a lot of different spaces.
I think financially too, you have people that maybe had really good jobs and could go out to eat. But
okay.
Then you're that person that's like, no, we really can't afford to go out to eat.
Yeah.
But how else do I spend time with you?
Yeah.
If we're not going out to eat.
Yeah. Okay, so then you become a mom, and do you remember your first mom friend or like how you made mom friends?
Yeah, it's whoever was having a baby at the same time I was.
Okay.
Because when you're young, married, and I mean, I was the first to have a kid in my group. So it's like I started the train, and then anybody after me that had a kid, it's like you're like, ooh, new friend.
Okay.
You're having a baby too.
Okay.
So I really think that just came with whoever was having a kid.
Yeah.
And you just hung out with them and commiserated.
And that initial group was from like your life group at church?
Yes, it was from church because I had like random jobs. So I didn't necessarily have like work friends and stuff like that. I just had random sporadic jobs.
Yeah.
So it was really more from church. Yes. And my neighborhood. I think that's where I've seen, I guess I never imagined that like where you live made a difference in who your friends were.
Yeah.
Because you saw each other on walks or exactly. When your kids were out playing and stuff.
Yeah.
It's like natural community.
And geography makes a difference because, like, it's a lot easier for me to hang out with you if the same park is in our neighborhood than if I have to drive 30 minutes right. across town to get to your park.
Yes. You so know? True. Yeah. So true.
So what do you think the difference is between a friend and a mom friend?
Oh, I don't know.
Well, because I think when you start out, because I think we call them mom friends, you know, you hear that term a lot. Uh-huh. And so it made me think about what's the difference between a friend and a mom friend? Well, I think once you become a mom, then you start to have friends that are other moms.
Right.
And it creates this opportunity then for you to talk about something that they're experiencing like you are, mm-hmm. that maybe nobody else is.
Yeah.
You know, it's hard to talk to a mom that doesn't have kiddos about, you know, how hard their life is because their life may be hard.
Whatever. They're going home and watching TV for 4 hours and like going to bed when they want.
Yeah. And so it can be really tough to like empathize when they're like, man, I'm so exhausted.
You're like, what if you can't? What? Yes. Yes.
So mom friends though are clutch because that's where you like feel known and seen and get like actual practical help on things that are going to make a difference for you in a way that nobody else could.
Yes.
So I want to know, do you remember how we became friends?
Yes.
We'll tell the story.
Well, I'm not good at telling stories.
You are?
We met in a Bible study.
So you're the worst. You did that on purpose.
No, that's like... I actually thought this the other day in my head. I said, I need to get better at telling stories. I don't think I'm great at it. It's one of the things I'm working on in life, okay? It's just part of my season, so.
Okay, I was 25, and we had just moved to the town that we live in now, and I was pregnant. No.
Mm-mm, I had pregnant. You just had Caleb.
I had him, and he was my first. And we had moved here, and my husband's family was from here, but I didn't know anyone. And, you know, we were young married. We'd been married 5 years at that point, and we'd been in ministry before that at other places. And I can tell you that that was kind of a lonely season because we were in ministry in places where I didn't have friends, where I felt like I could be safe to have friends.
Yeah.
And so then moving to this town, and then you become a mom and it's like, wow, I'm out here and could potentially drown if I don't find some people to be in community with. So that summer, that would have been Caleb was 6 months old. So that summer there was a women's Bible study.
And was it during the summer?
Yeah. And I was like, I think I'm a woman, you know, like, but I've never been to a women's Bible study, you know, yes. Like you're like, can I go to women's Bible study? I guess I qualify at this point, you know?
That's hilarious.
So we ended up somehow like answering questions together. I don't know if we were at the same table or something, but
No. You answered a question in the large group. And when you answered the question, I was like, dang, I think I like her. I want to be friends with her.
Yay. Okay.
You were dressed really cute. I do remember that. You always dressed really cute. And so I was like, I'm going to go talk to her afterwards.
And you did. Okay. And so that's why we tell the stories, because this is the pivotal. You guys, like, we would not have this friendship. Gather moms may not be a thing. Like, but Rebecca had the courage to come up to me afterwards and say, hey, I'm Rebecca. You seem great. Do you want to go have lunch?
I probably said that too.
And I was like, 100%, I want to go have lunch with you. And from that very first lunch, it was like, this was meant to be. We're friends forever now.
I just don't remember in that stage of my life feeling like nervous about talking to people. I don't know if it's that first kid confidence where you're like, dang, I'm so good at parenting. This is awesome. I'm going to go make friends. And like now that you have 3 kids and 1 about to graduate, you're like, oh, I'm so bad at this. I don't want to talk to anybody.
I mean, but that's real. It really humbles you the more kids you have and the longer
yes,
down the road you are.
Yes.
But I'm just so thankful that you came and talked to me, because then after that we went to lunch and then you were like, hey, do you guys have a life group? That's what we call, you know, some churches it's Sunday school or community group.
Do you remember ABF?
Yeah.
Adult Bible Fellowship.
Right. And so you said, do you guys have a life group? And I was like, no, because it felt so intimidating to walk into a room of strangers and try and make friends. Like,
yes.
You know, just that sounded like my worst nightmare. For those that don't know, Kate's a bit of an introvert. So you invited us to your life group, and then I showed up, and then those people became my good friends, and then we ended up helping lead that life group.
I'm about to say, you took it over. You're like, all right, people, step out. We here now. Let's go. Let's go.
So it just changed. You walking up to me and introducing yourself and inviting me in changed the trajectory of my life.
Oh my gosh.
It's
so deep.
It's did.
I feel like that's heavy.
I can't imagine where I would be.
You want to take me on vacation with you now?
Yeah, ma'am. Okay. Yes. You're coming to Italy with me? Well, I'll put you in my
Let's go.
Suitcase.
Let's go.
But I just think, you know, friendships, mom friendships, it takes some courage. We don't necessarily have these baked in friends like we did in our grade school years. And it can be really challenging for us. I think we have all of this internal dialogue about like, they're too busy. They already have friends. They're not going to like me, you know?
Yeah.
And so we kind of, we psych ourselves into not saying anything.
Yeah.
But you never know what you could be missing out on if you don't just try.
Well, and I think there's a pressure there where it almost feels like if I talk to this person, we're going to be best friends. And I think you have to take that pressure off because sometimes you're just talking to them to have someone to talk to while you're at a function. And yeah. Then from there, it either grows because you guys connect and have some similarities.
Yeah.
Or you just get to say hi to them the next time you see them because you know their name now.
Yeah.
I just think we have to take the pressure off too to say, look, talking to a new mom when you're out, you know, shopping or at a school function or like the other day when we went to fifth grade camp and there's all these moms standing around me. I'm like, well, we should talk because we're just standing here watching.
Yeah.
Take the pressure off to make it like, this is my forever friend.
Okay, good.
No, I just want, hey, how are you today? My name is... Just chat and see what God does.
Well, I think that's good. And I think the other thing is that friendships as an adult with a spouse and children are going to look different than they did with your grade school bestie. You know, like just our friendship, sometimes we do pretty good about like going to dinner together, texting each other. You know, Rebecca is so good. Her spiritual gift is writing letters. So I just randomly every few weeks walk out to my mailbox and find a card from Rebecca with some kind of encouragement. By the way, she's a much better friend to me.
That is not true. I've been sick this week and Kate has been checking on me nonstop. Come on now.
Well,
you brought me tea. She brought me tea.
Okay, my favorite Theraflu tea. Has medicine in it. And so you're taking all the medicine and it tastes good.
It does. It actually tasted good. I was surprised. You know, sometimes you're like, oh, this is going to be bad.
Yeah.
I have to chug it. No, yeah. I enjoyed it.
But that's just kind of, there's just a safety there of like, we understand that there are going to be times in our lives where we're going to have more time for each other and we can go and do more things. But there are going to be times where it's kind of like, hey, you still doing okay? You
right.
out there?
Right.
Okay.
Right.
I'll see you in a month.
Right. I do think that's the difference. Motherhood is unpredictable. You really don't know when a season's going to come where you like have to tap out for a while.
Yeah.
So you need friends that can recognize that you're tapping out, not because of them, but because of life.
Yeah. So as moms, we need friendships. And I started to look up there's so much research on how our mental health and actually our general health is affected by having friendships and from being in community. There's this really cool research that came out of Canada, and they asked individuals across all age ranges to rate their sense of connection and their level of general mental health. And the data showed that people who said they had a very strong sense of community belonging were 3.21 times more likely to say they had a high level of general health. So if they had a community, they were 3 times more likely to be healthier.
To feel healthy, okay.
And they were 5 times more likely to say they had a strong level of mental health.
Interesting.
Yeah. So, you know, we know that community matters. And another study, it said that what scientists have found is that whereas social isolation is associated with higher anxiety, depression, sleeplessness, suicide rates, on the flip side of that, social connectedness correlates with lower anxiety, depression, sleeplessness, and suicide rates. In other words, community is critically important to mental health. And really, the science is just backing up what the Bible has told us all along, right? That we need to be in community with each other. And I was thinking about, we've been doing a series at church on the book of Acts, And it's where the very first church starts. And so in Acts 2, that first church starts after the Holy Spirit came. And some of you who are in various places on your faith walk, let me back up a little bit where we are in Acts 2. So remember that Jesus is God's son. He came and he lived a perfect life. He died on the cross for us. And then after he rose from the grave, he stayed with his people for a little bit. And he told them, hey, I'm about to send a helper to you, and it's the Holy Spirit, but you got to wait for it in Jerusalem. So there's all these, this group of around 120, we think, waiting in Jerusalem.
Men and women.
Men and women.
Love it. Ladies were there.
And then the Holy Spirit comes in, and it's this really neat, you can read about it in Acts 1 and 2. The Holy Spirit comes, and he indwells believers, and that's when the church started. And it describes the early church. And it says this in Acts 2:42. It says, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. So I just love that picture because it says that they had all things in common. They sold their possessions to make sure that the wealth was spread out, right? That nobody was...
That's called hand-me-downs.
Yes. It's exactly that.
Yes.
So we have this like hand-me-down cycle, yes, that goes through our girls. And, you know, for a long time it was Lydia would pass it on to Abby, uh-huh, who would pass it on to Emma, uh-huh, and then it would come back to Caroline.
Yes.
And so that's Jenny and Rebecca and I's kids. And so there's just this, you know, passing on of like, hey, we're not using this booster seat anymore. Does anybody need it?
Exactly.
You know, I mean, I'm about to donate this high chair. Does somebody know someone who needs,
yes,
it? You know?
Yes.
We're not using, we sized out of size 3 diapers. Who needs some?
Right.
Or swim diapers.
Oh man, the swim diapers in the summer, that's kind of fun when people are like, hey, we just bumped up to another size.
Yes.
Who wants these?
Yes. And you're like, praise God, because these suckers,
well,
are expensive.
And all of us that have older kids are like, please don't take your kid in swim diapers to the pool. That's just an accident waiting to happen. Okay.
That baby isn't going to stay in the water
long.
Like,
I'm speaking truth. Okay.
Yeah, I, yes, know. Our community pool in our neighborhood is regularly getting shut down, yes, because of,
yes, contamination.
Poop in the pool.
Hey, but the other thing, the breaking of bread, we take food to people.
Yes.
I mean, that's what we do. Moms take food. We like, that's how we help.
Yes.
Like, do you need food?
Yes. And so it's this authentic community. And our one of our teaching pastors, his name is Mike Bro, when he taught on this last week, I'm probably going to get this word wrong, but he shared that the word they use here about community is koinonia, and it's called the shared life. And so they truly had this shared life where they were rubbing up against each other. And I think this is more than just meeting up at the park occasionally or going out for happy hour. Like over time, these friendships, this community needs to develop into a level of transparency and authenticity. Like when we look at research and it's saying that, you know, people's health and their mental health is being affected by having these friendships and community, you guys, it's a deeper level of than just, you know, showing up at the park. It's more than that. You've got to get to a space where you start being brave enough to be real with another person. That's where the breakthroughs come in. You know, as a young mom, I struggled with depression. I did not know really that's what it was. Mm-hmm. I just knew that I would get really tired and run down and could not get out of my bed and didn't want to see anybody, didn't want to get dressed. I didn't know. I just thought I was tired. You know, and so I would have made plans with people to go somewhere and I would text them and say, I can't make it. I'm sick, because I didn't know how to tell them. I just don't feel like getting out of the bed. And the breakthrough came for me when I was able to start saying to you and to a couple of other friends, hey, I'd really like to come, but I can't put my clothes on. And the freedom that happened when I just put that out into the light, a couple of things happened for me. Number one was other moms started saying, I have been there.
Yes. Yes.
Because I thought I was the only one. Mm-hmm. I thought everyone else was just always happy to be up and going, that they got dressed every day, that they, You know?
Listen, how many times you see me in my robe? I don't gotta get dressed.
Well, but that there was this, that there was just this freedom in that.
Yes.
And then letting them in. So that then if they didn't see me for a little bit or I bounced on a few things, that they knew to lean in and say,
right,
okay, that's fine. Are you doing okay?
Right.
Do you need help? And sometimes then just showing up to bring me the help that I needed.
Well, and it's in that dark space where you feel like you're keeping a secret or you're lying to somebody that you love because you don't want to tell them the truth, that your mental state just plummets because you just get in a cycle that just goes down, down, down.
Yeah.
So there's something so freeing about just saying the word, I don't want to get dressed.
Yeah.
You may not even actually get dressed that day. You just told somebody you didn't want to get dressed.
Yes.
It's just like a baby step in the right direction towards the light.
Yeah. I think you helped me a lot in that because there was some time early on, I think the phraseology that you used is you would tell your husband, I'm going down into the pit.
Come get me.
Do you remember?
Yes. Yes. I still go in the pit sometimes. Yes.
And it was like, because I just always saw you, you know, early in our friendship, I saw you as so happy and easygoing and stuff. So for you to be honest and say, I just let him know I'm going down into the pit. And then to let us know, hey, I think I'm heading to the pit, or life feels really heavy.
Yep.
But I think we just have this tendency to not say anything. We don't want to burden another person. We feel like they've got too much going on.
I think that's a big one. I'm so scared that you're already struggling in your own life that if I tell you something I'm struggling with, it's going to make it worse.
Yeah.
And it's totally the opposite, because even if I'm having a terrible day and you text and say, I'm having a terrible day, it doesn't make my day more terrible. It actually makes my day better.
I agree. Cause it's a weird thing, but it helps take the focus off yourself and put it on someone else and how you can be a blessing to them. Like there's a lot of freedom in that. That's biblical too.
Yes.
You know? So we just had something happen in our family a couple weeks ago. Jeremy and Caroline were in a really bad accident. And I was, by the grace of God, I was at church. It was a Sunday morning. I was helping do church online. So by the grace of God, I was dressed and I was already 15 minutes closer to them than I would have been. And it was the sweetest thing that morning. My husband is over all of our campuses throughout the Dallas area. And so he had gotten Caroline up and he said, can we have a daddy-daughter day? You come with me to campuses. She was like, I don't know. And he said, okay, we'll go to Starbucks and get you a treat.
That's always the winner. Yes. Starbucks.
And he was like, and then we'll stop at Target and you can get a little prize. I know. Like he doubled down.
I want a prize. I'll go to campuses.
So they had gone to our North Dallas. They had gone to our East Dallas campus. They had gone to our North Dallas campus. And I get a text from him and it says, thankfully it was between services for me. So I wasn't like on air or whatever. And he said, Caroline and I were just in an accident. I need you to come. And I remember reading that text and being like, you know, because you have no idea how bad
it is. So many questions.
Yes.
Like so many questions.
And so I called him and like, praise God, he was so calm. And he said, I said, well, how bad is the accident? And can you drive? He said, no, I can't. I'm probably never going to be able to drive the truck again. I think it's totaled. The ambulance is here. They want to take Caroline to Children's Medical in Dallas. And I need you to come. And I said, okay. And I just remember just like, I don't know, taking deep breaths, but also being scared out of my mind.
Yeah.
Because I knew he would tell me Caroline was okay no matter what. Like,
right.
He's not gonna tell me really how bad it is because he knows I have to get in the car. So I start driving over there. And I remember thinking to myself, Kate, you should reach out to your friends and ask them to pray. But the next thing I said to myself was, no, it's just an accident. You don't know how bad it is. You shouldn't bother anybody. Just get there and check it out first.
Isn't that the craziest thought? That we would think, no, it's not that big of a deal.
Yeah.
Where does that come from?
I don't know. For me, it's just not wanting to be a burden, you know? And maybe like not wanting to be dramatic or something.
Oh, ding, ding, ding. Yes. Yeah.
And so, but I just was like, no, I know who these closest girls are that would want to know. There's actually a part that motivates me is knowing that it might hurt your feelings if I didn't tell you what happened.
Yes. That's so true.
Right?
Yeah.
Like if I don't tell you and then you find out later and you're gonna be like, ma'am, I thought we were that level of friends.
Rude. Yes. Yes.
So by God's grace, I went ahead and I texted and I just said, I'm going, would you just please pray? And immediately, of course, that group of ladies champions and they're like, yes, we're praying. What do you need? You know? So I get to the site and the ambulance had already taken Caroline threw up once the ambulance got there. So they said she could have a concussion and blah, blah, blah. Jeremy needed me to get his golf clubs out of the back of the truck.
Thank you for that real life. Thank you for that. We need to know these things. Cause I actually thought, what's in his truck that he still needs?
Yeah. His golf clubs, ma'am.
Okay. That's important.
These blessed first responders, they were so great. Cause I walk up and I'm like, this was my husband's truck. And you already hear me say in the past tense, I'm like, this was a goner.
Yes.
This was my husband's truck. And is it possible for me to get out of it what, you know, what he needs? And they said yes, but they were down a slope. It pushed him off the road. And honestly, if you saw these pictures, like they were so close to this concrete barrier or could have gone into traffic on the other side. So, and the guys were like, sure, you know, but let us help you because don't get in it or anything like
Now you're embarrassed to tell them what you're trying to get.
And I looked at the man, I mean, they're all dudes though. Yes, so, yes. And I looked at the man and I said, he needs his golf clubs out of the back. And he laughed and he said, okay, I got you. And so they got him. They got every, I didn't even go in the truck. They got everything. And it was honestly, it messed me up to look at the truck.
Sure.
See where Caroline had been sitting and, you know, and then I get to Children's and she has 15 people hovering over her. She's in a neck brace. They've got an IV going. She's on the board.
Uh-huh. The flat. Yeah.
You know, we end up having to do a CT. I mean, it was extreme because then she had this big bruise on the side of her head. So they're looking for it. Does she have a concussion? Where the seatbelt hit her, you know, did hurt her tummy.
Yes.
And so they're having to make sure there's no internal damage. So we are so thankful. We walked away from that deal with just really bumps and bruises. But then what happened? Then I get home and Jenny shows up at the house with this big squishmallow for Caroline.
Oh, that's so sweet.
And Emma had made her this card and then there were flowers. And then the Grubhub gift cards and the DoorDash and the people checking on us and stuff. I cannot tell you how many cookies were delivered. And so not only did that bless me, but then my kiddos got to see our community at work.
That's right.
They got to see what it looks like to have people that love you and care about you and lean in when life is hard.
Yes.
And so I'm so thankful that in that moment, it took some courage for me to text you guys.
Yes.
But I know that God used it not only to bless me, but to bless my family.
Yes. I think there's a side note there too, that I think can be hard, but you had done the work previously to build those friendships.
Yeah.
And so it makes me think about moms out there listening that could go, well, if I had a car accident, I don't know who would come. Mm. I don't know who would send cookies.
Yeah.
And it's so sad for me to think that you don't have that community, but there's also a part of me that wants to just say to you, please try.
Yeah.
Please just try.
Yeah.
If not for yourself, for your family, not because you want somebody to bring you cookies in a car accident, but because you know that there's going to be hard times in life and you need a group of people.
Yes. No, that's so good. So we want to offer you this community. So this Thursday at 7:00 Central Standard Time, we're going to jump online together and we're going to talk more about this topic and you're going to have the chance to ask us real questions and for us to give real feedback and maybe to help strategize, you know, are you in a new city? Are you wanting to start a group, but you don't know how to do it? Like whatever you've been wanting to talk to us about, we're going to be live online with you and we just want to have the conversation and help start showing you like what mom community looks like to help give you put a little more courage in your belt.
That's right. We're so excited and we'd love for you to join us. And if you're thinking in your head right now, no, I don't need to, that is not from God. So right now, take that thought out and put this thought in your head. Oh my gosh, that sounds so fun. I want to go.
Yes. You don't need to be dressed. You can have chaos going on in the background.
Should I come in my robe? Would that make them feel better?
That would be fantastic. You could be doing something else. If, you know, if it's 7:00 is bedtime, hopefully you get somebody to help you with that bedtime, ma'am. Uh-huh, uh-huh. Or
let them stay up late.
Let them stay up late. Like this does not need to be a perfect scenario. We're just going to get on and it's going to be like, we're just hanging out together. So we want you to join us. Okay, moms, we love you and we'll see you next time.
Bye-bye.